Trust me, you're going to love this.
This is Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Your weekly exploration of the world of fashion and design. Find out what to wear,
what's hot,
what's not,
the latest trends in fashion, and more.
Here's your host, Nicole Steinthal.
We're here today with Carrie Mandela and Caroline LeBay, two virtuoso travel agents that are going to talk to us about their businesses. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi.
Actually, I said travel agents, but it's really travel advisor, right? Is that how it's renamed now?
Yes. That's how we like to be addressed.
Okay, perfect. So, ladies, why don't we start? What is your background?
Yeah, Caroline, why don't you go first?
Hi, everyone. My background has always been in the tourism industry. I have a degree in it, have kind of gradually fell into this about 5 years ago. I've had so much experience working with hotels and helping people plan their own trips that weren't really for just friends and suggestions. And it's been always a passion of mine, and I really love the industry. So it was kind of a natural fit for this part of my life for a career.
And for me, I'm actually completely opposite of Caroline. I actually had a career in advertising and marketing, and 10 years ago stepped away from that when my oldest went to kindergarten and I was a stay-at-home mom. And over the last few years, kids have needed me differently, and so I started to look for something that I really enjoyed, and travel is a huge passion, and wanted the flexibility of being able to work from home and still be available to my kids, but at the same time do something that engaged my brain a little bit more than day-to-day school and laundry and all of those fun things. So Caroline was actually doing all of my travel and having a fabulous time, and I started talking to Caroline, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
Wow, that's great. So what is a virtuoso advisor?
Well,
Caroline.
I'll start. What a virtuoso advisor is, it's a network, and it's an invitation-only travel network that is for the top 1% of travel agencies in the country, actually around the world. They've now expanded into Europe and Australia on taking on agency. It connects the top agency and agencies or advisors with vetted suppliers worldwide. We have a portfolio of nearly 2,000 top hotels and cruise lines and tour operators, and Virtuoso represents some of the best in the travel business. I'd like to also say that when you're part of the Virtuoso network and people use an advisor, that we elevate your travel experiences.
Exactly.
That's kind of where that is.
Okay, so it's basically like more geared towards luxury travel?
I would say, yes, it definitely has a gear towards luxury travel. However, I would say a lot of the common core of what Virtuoso is about is to make sure that all of the advisors that use Virtuoso suppliers is that we have the best people. It doesn't have to be as in luxury, that are the best people that we can rely on our clients to go to a country that you're able to have the right guides, you're the right hotels. It doesn't have to be the top end of the hotels, but we know that if it's a 3-star hotel in London, that it's been looked at and our clients are going to be very, are looking for for quality. I mean, and sometimes it's about the experience. Sometimes it's about the needing to make, we have to rely on these people to make sure that our clients are happy and they know that they can trust that when you are part of this network. Because it doesn't have to be on the top tier of the travel industry.
So it's safe to say that some Virtuoso hotels are 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, etc. So there's a price range to this luxury travel.
correct?
More so, not for the hotels as much, but for the people who we rely on, what we call on. Mm-hmm. So they're experienced in the country people that have, that know what the quality we're looking for. There, you will not find 3-star hotels in the Virtuoso profile, but the on-sites who are Virtuoso vetted have, you know, scrutinily looked at hotels that are of quality and are not something that we're, that's a fly-by-night type of situation.
Okay. So then why don't we, I have another question. Why don't we start with Carrie and then Caroline can also answer. So why should someone hire a travel advisor? Because I see more and more there's advertisements to do it on your own, and people sometimes move away from hiring a travel advisor. But then now I see on Facebook pages people are asking again for recommendations. So why should someone hire a travel advisor?
That's actually a great question, and there are actually quite a few reasons. One is everybody these days is now inundated with all the information on the Internet, and it does take hours to go through TripAdvisor, and you're going through Expedia, and you're trying to find, you know, a trip that you can put together for your family that you want to take, and that takes a lot of time. And some people's asset, most valuable asset, is their time. So hire somebody who understands and knows where to go, where to give you quality. At times it takes your trip from being ordinary to extraordinary. We have certain benefits that you can't get on your own or through the Internet. We know the world. We know the destination. As Caroline referenced before, there are on-sites or travel management companies within a certain destination that we do have relationships with, that we can call and say, hey, I have a family of four, and they're looking to, you know, be adventurous. They want to do some culture. They want some beach time. You know, what can we put together for them? How can we make them have a great trip? And then the other thing is we spend a lot of time with our clients. We find out what your travel style is, what's important to you, what's important to your travel companions. And we can also, we work together to creatively come up with where you want to go and what you want to do. And a lot of times there are last-minute requests that come in, that something you might not have planned for or expected all of a sudden pops up, or you hear about, you know, a great new restaurant that you want to try to get into. So we really put a human touch to it. We have personal relationships. It's not dealing with somebody on the Internet. And at times, you know, we've all heard horror stories of people who book things and they get to the hotel and, oh, well, you were booked in the hotel down the street. That's our sister hotel. Or you think you've booked a certain room and you get there and it's the worst room in the building. Or you think at the same time, oh, my God, I've got this great price on the Internet. And then you get to a couple of screens in and, oh, wait, they didn't add in the taxes. They didn't add in the fees. They didn't. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, that wasn't that great. So there's a lot of unknown when you book it on the Internet versus actually talking to a person who has those personal relationships and can guarantee of the product that you're being sold. Caroline, is there anything you want to add to that? And
go ahead. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I said, is there anything you want to add to that?
I think what you said is really quite thorough. I mean, it really realizes that that's the strongest thing that we have is our relationship with our suppliers. Carrie and I spend a lot of time making relationships with these people and making sure that when our clients do go to certain places and that they know that they're coming. So if there is, you know, that's very important to us because it makes us, you know, be confident that what we're giving our clients is a valuable experience that they couldn't have gotten on their own. And that's
exactly
really why we try to do that.
Exactly. Like, you know, so if I have somebody arriving at a hotel, I'm emailing the sales manager a couple days before saying, hey, I want to let you know that Mr. and Mrs. Smith are arriving. And, you know, can you please make sure that X, Y, and Z is taken care of and that here are their flight times. And, you know, I know what time the check-in is. And if they're going to get there before the check-in, I try to arrange to make sure that they have their room when they arrive versus having to wait for it. And, you know, there's lots of things that we do behind the scenes that maybe you don't think to do on your own.
Okay. Caroline, what's the difference between booking with an advisor or online such as Expedia?
Well, for all the same reasons that Carrie just outlined, the main difference as a travel advisor is you know, is that personal relationship with the suppliers, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you just won't find that with Expedia or Travelocity. It's a resource for people, but the reliability is just kind of scary. And of course, with Carrie and I hear over and over again through our clients that things that don't happen because they booked their Expedia trip. And, you know, mm-hmm. many people are like, oh, it's never happened to me before, but it can, and it does. And it also mm-hmm. takes, you know, we don't rely on what the advice of TripAdvisor and things of that nature, because we don't know who's doing these kinds mm-hmm. of reviews. And they have reviews on Expedia, and they have reviews on Travelocity. And, you know, what we're looking for is the quality and reliability. You know, it really is a big, you have to be very cautious when you're mm-hmm. looking online. And the fine print is interesting. I mean, that seems to be always like, we didn't know that you had to be out by a certain time. We didn't know that there was an extra fee for the valet. We didn't know that there was going to be all these different things that end up costing you a lot of money. And, you know, mm-hmm. they guarantee connecting rooms. That's always the biggest problem with doing things on Expedia or Travelocity is that you cannot guarantee those kinds of things. That we can at least try the best we can to make sure that a family of four has connecting. They won't,
right.
and they won't budge when you show up and their rooms are not like that. They, you know, if something like that happens with our clients, more often than not, we would get phone calls. We would, you know, or we would have already spoken to the hotel on the importance of what needs to happen, that we have 3-year-olds versus 15-year-olds on connecting mm-hmm. and why mm-hmm. it's important. So that's more about what it's about for mm-hmm. us. And everything, you know, I don't even think you can compare what we do in what that can offer. It's a resource of information to find out what hotels are there, I guess. That's mm-hmm. the best, mm-hmm. that's really all it serves in most cases.
Okay.
Well, and I think one thing that Caroline said that was really interesting that people need to remember is when you read the reviews, you don't know who's writing them. You don't know mm-hmm. if they really had a good experience or a bad experience. And you don't know if their travel style matches up with your travel style. So mm-hmm. you really need
that's
to keep
very
that,
important.
Need that, keep that in mind. And also, look at the fine print. I mean, sometimes you're booking a prepaid rate and all of a sudden you have a change in your schedule and you want to cancel and it's non-refundable. You're like, oh, wait,
right.
I didn't realize that. So it's really, really, you just have to be super careful.
And
okay, great.
It's also about managing an expectation. We can mm-hmm. manage people's expectations. If they're booking a hotel that we don't even know, but we can tell them that. We can book mm-hmm. the hotel and we give them what we understand about the hotel. We have managed our clients' expectations. That's half the job that Carrie and I have, is to make sure that expectations are met. And you can't do that and that goes back to that human touch. You can't do that from what you find on TripAdvisor or Travelocity
right.
or any of those websites.
Great. Ladies, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with this.
You're listening to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Back to Nicole Steinthal.
Hello, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Today we're talking to Carrie Mandela and Caroline LeBay. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi. And thank you.
Hi. We're so happy to have you here talking about your travel advisor positions, because this is something that comes up a lot, because we love to talk about travel and fun places to go to, and people really don't know who to turn to help them with their trips. What I have found is that people do go on Expedia and Travelocity and these websites because they want to get the best rates. And I think there's a little bit of fear that if they contact a travel advisor, that's not going to happen. So, Caroline, can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes. You know, oftentimes, yes, there are definitely some very, very low prices. And again, that's a buyer beware. It is, however, most of the time, we can't compete with Expedia's cost. However, we can always compete what is priced online to the hotel website. Most of the time, it's pretty comparable. Again, remembering that Expedia, when they show you the price of $299 a night or $150 a night, they haven't put in all the other things that go with that. It's the prepaid. It's non-refundable. So there are a lot of things that you don't know ahead of time. So we, and if they've undercut what the hotel by, you know, $50-$60, the hotel will often not meet, will not match what the price is online. And if that is something that you have to be very cautious, you know, if that's very important to you and the rest of the things are not as important that you're not worried, then I would say that's a great resource. But that is not what we try to do. We are trying to enhance and make sure that what you're getting is what you pay for. I don't think we are more expensive. Most of the hotels from the websites to Expedia are not that different in most cases, unless it's maybe a last minute booking of the, you know, we have to go to Hawaii in 3 days. There right. may be a better price, but there's, and really that can work for some. It doesn't work for all anymore. And our clients are not really looking at that anymore, you know, and people are really, really worried and are weary of what they see now.
Right. Exactly. Well, Caroline, I also want to ask you, so if somebody hires you or Carrie, what are the fees associated with that?
Well, we both charge fees, and those are really based on the complexity of the request. Mm-hmm. We often have, if it's a very simple hotel booking, it's a nominal fee of $25. Sometimes if you're booking a safari, it can be as much as $250 to manage a trip for a year. It's mm-hmm. It's to guarantee that you understand that, you know, we're working for you and that we are securing the best that we can for you and ensuring that you're paying for a service.
Just like Nicole, I mean, you pay for an interior designer, you pay a fee. Sometimes you pay a fee for a financial planner. I mean, it's basically, it's an investment. You're showing us that you're serious and that our time is worth something, and we're going out and we're giving you and doing the research on the destination or the trip that you have come to us to possibly take. So it really is a consultancy.
Okay, great. And so it's not a percentage of the total trip value, is it? Or it's you have just different fees, you come up with the difference.
Everybody works differently. There are some travel advisors that probably do charge you a percentage of, mm-hmm. Of the trip costs. It really depends on how the individual is structured and what their fee structure is.
Okay, great.
But ours is not that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Caroline and I do not charge a percentage of the trip.
Okay. How about this one? Carrie, why don't you answer this one or help us with this? Can you use a travel advisor for budget travel, or do you just focus on high-end trips?
You know, we work with all budget levels, and we discuss in depth with our clients the best course for them. A lot of what we do, as we've talked about, is education. Many people today don't realize the cost of travel. Some people have ideas of what they would like and don't realize the dollar figure that goes with that. We really do set and manage our clients' expectations, and it really is our goal every time that we send a client on a trip that we exceed those expectations, and we get just fabulous feedback from our clients on what a fabulous trip it was, and everybody was extremely happy at the end of the day, and they want to take another one.
Great. Tell me, maybe Caroline, you wanted to address this. Where is a travel destination that's getting a lot of attention right now?
We're getting a lot of attention right now is Central America, South America. Iceland is a big one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Central America and South America is a place that I've been booking a lot. I'm very familiar with those destinations, so that's always. People love to know personal experiences with those places. My last couple of big trips have all been into Central America. Carrie, I think you're going to Nicaragua, aren't you, in spring?
Yep, spring break.
It's definitely on those, you know, in South America. I think people are also not necessarily flying to Europe because of they're concerned of different things. People also haven't thought about South America because it's on the same time zone.
Mm-hmm.
And people love that. That makes things, especially when you have kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so South America offers you a warm climate. Tell us what the attractions are for South America.
South America has everything from culture to adventure to, depending upon the time of year, you have the opposite season. That's also very attractive, that it's in the winter time. You go in the winter, you're going there in the summer. In the winter time, I have clients that are, because I live in Park City and have just recently moved from Jackson Hole, where my skiing families want to go skiing in the summer. So they want to go skiing in the summer, and they ski in Argentina and in Chile and places. And that's also another draw that's been very interesting. That, you know, Argentina has tons of culture. They call it the Paris of the South. And it's got, you know, the music, the colors. People are very fascinated. Colombia is another one that's coming on the map right now that people are really excited to travel to. And it's a culture that people are not very familiar with and are wanting to expand what they want to do something different.
Absolutely. And, I mean, Peru is always a huge attraction, Machu Picchu.
Oh, yeah.
People are concerned that, you know, at some point you won't be able to hike up the trail, and so a lot of people are trying to go see it. And with the new train that leaves from...
Right.
So, I mean, it's definitely always a great destination.
Wow, that sounds great. Now let's talk a little bit about Europe, because you mentioned some people are choosing to go to South America as opposed to Europe, but there is sort of that whole European vacation that's so attractive, and people are, you know, always leaning towards Paris and London and Rome. Do you have a destination that you recommend that's a little out of the box, but still great for families?
Yeah, absolutely. Croatia is becoming more and more popular. Spain, Portugal, Germany has a lot of attraction right now as we approach Martin Luther's 500th birthday. And, you know, there's always the World War II tours that families like to do. So those are a couple of destinations outside of Paris and London that are extremely popular.
That's great. So now I want to ask about cruises, because a lot of my readers are not really into cruises. I mean, it's a very mixed thing. Some people love cruises, and some people are like, it's just not for me. Do you guys book cruises?
Yes, we do. It really comes down to what clients are looking for. Yes, you're right. There's probably a lot of listeners that are more of the age that feels that cruising is for the older generation. However, I think Carrie and I are both finding that a lot of people in their late 40s and 50s are looking at it as a one-stop type of trip, where you unpack once and you go to the south of France or you go to the south of Spain, and you're able to see so many things in 10 days. There are different cruise lines that are attracted to, you know, the different demographics. That sometimes you know, a lot of people do it more on interest than they do on aging, on age groups, is what I've found recently. River cruising is very big, and even with the people that are younger, a big draw right now for people with families are the Christmas markets in Germany. So they'll do the river cruising because they get to hit so many different of those types of experiences during the holidays that are unique and really fun for families to see. So it kind of is all over the board. It's kind of all over the board where it goes. You know, we have the cruise lines that you go from Sea Dream Yacht Club, which is really nice, and AMA Waterways and Viking and Silver Seas and Seabourn. Those are all our virtuoso partners. But people are really looking to see out of the box so they can actually get more, they can see more on a trip. And a cruise is really a really nice way to do it. And it's not just for the older crowd. You will certainly see families on cruises, all cruises in most cases, on times of school break. You will see families on, you know, they go families in the summertime in Alaska, the boat will be mostly children, you know, teenagers. And you have all, I mean, and there are just different cruises that cater to different experiences. Adventure, I did a cruise called Uncruise, which is meant to be for light adventures, but the boats are small, that they go to places that big cruise ships can't. But they're geared, you know, it was one of my favorite trips that I've done, and was going up to the British Columbia Inlet that wasn't even very far to travel to, and some of the most beautiful things that I've seen, and you couldn't get there with a big cruise ship. The boat was only, you know, 20 passengers. So it is an upcoming market, and there's a lot a lot of options to fit the person who's looking for it.
Okay, what provider do you like?
Well, I personally,
Carrie, what did you say?
I was saying, you know what, I'm personally, I like small ships. That's the experience that I like.
Yeah.
So I like Sea Dream Yacht Clubs. I like Seabourn. I like Silver Seas. But it really comes down to working with your travel advisor and figuring out what works for your family, because the properties or suppliers I just mentioned, I mean, those are going to be small ships. You may want a Norwegian that has, you know, all of the activities and the night shows and the game arcades. So it really comes down to working with somebody to figure out what works for your family and also the itinerary that you're looking to do.
Wow, it sounds like there's a lot of options there.
There are lots of options.
Sure.
Lots of options. And the other thing is it's great for a group, is because there are some great cost savings that can be had if you work with a travel advisor and you can set up a group, and the more cabins you add, your pricing is going to come down. It might be something that you want to look at doing, Nicole, for your listeners and putting together a group that Carolyn and I would be happy to assist you with.
That's great. Okay, I have to ask you ladies, I don't know who wants to start to answer this, but what is the most extravagant trip you have booked this far?
Oh, well, Caroline and I talk about this all the time, because the word extravagant and the word luxury means something different to everybody. And it's sometimes words that people are scared by, because luxury and extravagant to one of your listeners may be taking a private car service to the airport. To another listener, it might be a first class ticket. Or to somebody else, it could be having dinner out. So those two words mean different things to different people. And sometimes certain people will say, well, you know, that family did that, and I could never afford to do that. And so I'm very careful in using those two words. But to answer your question, I would say the most extravagant trip that I have booked to date would be a multi-generational safari to South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, safaris seem to be very popular now, very luxurious from what I hear. Really, really great trip. So, and I've heard that it takes a long time to plan a safari.
It
could take up to a year.
It can. If you're going to plan a safari, you should plan on doing it in 12 to 18 months. The other thing which people need to keep in mind and they need to look at when they're planning a trip is look at how the U.S. dollar is to the foreign currency of the destination that they're going to. Actually, the dollar is extremely strong in South Africa, and safaris are as cheap as they have ever been in terms of what a safari sells for.
However, a safari is an expensive trip.
A safari,
from what I've heard, yes,
trip, hands down. But 2 years ago, a $10,000 safari per person. Today is probably $7,500 per person. So there are definitely dollar differences versus. So you just, that's really something very important to keep in mind when traveling, is to always make sure that you're looking at the currency and the exchange rate.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
And now, back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Here's Nicole Steinthal.
Hello, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Today we're here with travel advisors Carrie Mandela and Caroline LeBay. Welcome back, ladies.
Hello.
Thanks. Hi.
This has been really informative. I mean, we have learned so much about travel and the different opportunities, some great places to go to with our families. I wanted to ask you both, let's start with Carrie. What is your favorite place to visit?
You know what? I have discovered, I have two kids, and we are basically a sun and sand family. There is always something for everybody. And this past April, we were fortunate enough to go to Tahiti. And I have to say, hands down, that has been my absolute favorite trip. Everybody, my son is 14 and my daughter is 11. There was something for everybody. I was worried that Tahiti was really just a honeymoon destination. While it is, it definitely is for families as well.
Wow, that's great. How about you, Caroline?
Well, I'm still on my Central and South America. That's a, for our family, it's something that we just love to see and explore cultures. I think I get excited to think about the next place I'm going to get to go to. And for me, I'm hoping to go to Columbia. That's my next thought at this point, and thinking about how, where I'm going to, when I'm going to do that. And it's something, I spend a lot of time in Guatemala because my family, my husband's family is from Guatemala. So I know that that country in depth, and, you know, and I feel that I discover new things all the time when I go to these wonderful countries. And it's also really nice for my son to see the opposite of how we live in places that are different. And so those countries, all of them have been my favorite to go to. I haven't said that there isn't one place that I've went, oh gosh, I'll never go back there again.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you guys a few months ago planned a girls trip. Can you give us a great destination for a girls get together?
Well, I think it obviously would depend on where you're coming from. Obviously, Nicole, I would assume most of your listeners are, you know, on the East Coast. So definitely, I would say the Caribbean, Florida, Mexico. I love Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Really depends.
Spas are really fun to focus on. And you can focus on those kind of things in the United States also, which is sometimes desirable.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Arizona has some great spas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about, can you guys offer specific destination knowledge? Caroline, why don't you talk to us about that?
Absolutely. This is what is so special about our network. Because again, we can't have traveled everywhere, but we have been surrounded by people and that we rely on when we go to our Virtuoso Travel Convention, where we meet all these destination specialists. And when I find a place that I have never been to, that's the first phone call I make, is that I'll talk to our Virtuoso specialist that's there in let's say, Colombia in that case, and learn a lot and know what I already know and ask the questions that need to be asked to understand a destination. And again, with knowing what our clients are looking for, I can gear special questions and so forth. Most clients, I will say, will often come with a lot of research, which is great, because once we have research that they've done, that allows us to tailor what we make, that our suppliers can make sure that they get what they want. And everybody has different interests. And it's you can go as far as thinking about a Vatican experience, which is a common destination, but some people are only interested in the religious part of it. And other people are only interested in the architecture. And other people are wanting to know about the artwork in the Vatican. And you tailor it to that. So it goes back to that why people come to us, is that they're looking, they've done the research in most cases because it's a place that they've desired to go.
Great. I wanted to ask you guys, because this is something that's big for me as a blogger and as a lifestyle brand, giving my readers access to the best places, like where to go to dinner in London, or a great place in Paris to go to for dinner or lunch or brunch. And I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of social media following. And if I find a location that people just keep repeating and look at the reviews, I could sort of gear if it's going to be a place for my readers. I'm sorry about my little dog. She she's excited about the travel. How do you guys find those locations? Like, how do you find a nice hip restaurant, let's say in London, for your clients? Like, that they want to go somewhere a little bit out of the box, somewhere popular, trendy. How do you find those places?
You know, Nicole, a lot of things of like what you said, you know, we do as well. You know, we follow certain people on social media, and we read, you know, travel magazines. We also talk to our colleagues. You know, we have different advisors that we work with, you know, and so it's a trading of information, is how we basically find places that we recommend. And also, you know, the different suppliers that we work with within the destination also have a pulse on what is hot and up and coming and the places to go.
Okay. How about business travel? Caroline, can you help with business travel?
Yeah, I can. I have in the past. I would say the majority of my business, though, is leisure. I do some business travel for a lot of my clients that I already have. It is something actually that I, as I'm expanding my company, looking into doing more business travel. But at the current time, I'm really more geared towards the leisure traveler. But I can certainly help a lot of our executives, a lot of the wives that are working in executive level. We happen to be going to, Orlando, and we have a convention. Can you just get us 5 rooms here? So we can do that. It's not what we specialize in.
And is that the same for you, Carrie?
Yes. The majority of my business is leisure, but I do have a couple of corporate clients that I do assist.
Okay, great. What about, Carrie, what's the best time of the year, do you think, to travel?
Oh, obviously school holidays are going to be the most crowded and are going to command the top dollar. If your schedule is flexible and you can travel outside of those times, definitely late September, right up to Thanksgiving, you're going to find some great price breaks. And then, again, starting in early January up until probably about President's Day. And then you get spring break and all of that other stuff, and stuff pricing does go up.
Caroline, what do you feel?
And I'll add to that in the sense of saying that what Carrie said is correct, but what's the benefit of being able to travel outside of the school time is the crowds. Going to the Amalfi Coast in Italy in September is far more desirable than to be there in July. So it's price point and for crowds. So
and the weather's great.
And the weather's fantastic. Spring and fall in Europe is fantastic. And even again in other places, spring and fall is really ideal for a lot of things. But you know, your schedule can't always command that because of the kids' schedule.
Right. Now, how far in advance should you plan a special trip? Let's say if you wanted to go somewhere in August with your family, when should you start planning that trip?
Depending on where you're going. I mean, if you're going to Europe, you should be planning that now.
Now. Okay.
Caroline,
do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. 6 to 9 months is a sweet spot for most people. And I find that, obviously, as we said before, an African safari needs enormous planning. And most people who are planning a big trip like that, a bucket list trip, do it far in advance because they want to get what you want. I mean, the more time you have, the better it is for options. That's really what it comes down to. So when people call us, 2 weeks before spring break, and we have some very high-end clients that are expecting the world to open up, and it doesn't necessarily. I mean, if you can't get into a hotel in Cancun because you're not getting that.
You're just out of luck because you waited too long.
You're out of luck. And money is not going to get – that's not going to get you the suite that you're looking for or even a room in a nice hotel.
If the space is gone, the space is gone.
It's gone.
Right. Yeah. How about do you encourage your clients to to get travel insurance, because we've heard of some things in the past, where weather problems or things have gotten canceled. So do you encourage that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
We both offer it to our clients every trip, and we both take it personally on every trip.
Yeah.
Okay, because
it's one of those things. I'm sorry, Nicole, what?
Because it's just peace of mind. Because if something freaky happens, then you can get your money back, right? All of your money back? Do you lose anything? How does that work?
Well, there are
it
different
depends
products.
Upon the policy.
Yeah, so it really depends on the policy that your client buys. So there are different price points, different policies that we can offer.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask you, so you told us you talked to your virtuoso contacts, but how do you come up with a travel itinerary? How do you figure, this is going to be like going to something, going to 2 or 3 attractions a day as opposed to staying back and maybe going to 1 attraction every 4 days? Like, how do you come up with all of that?
Well, I think we can say that we spend a fair amount of time talking to our clients. And so we know their travel style, as Carrie has said. What are the needs? What are the wants? You have little kids. Do you have kids that like to move? Is jet lag an issue for you? Do you, some people will say, we want to get off the airplane and start touring. Others are like, I need a day to relax. And, you know, you plan to what their style is. And then once, you know, if it's a very short trip to Paris and you want to hit the highlights, well, then we have to come up with a way to do that the best we can to figure out what is going to fit in someone's time frame. Because you can be have constraints with air. You can have constraints with, you know, physical constraints. I do a lot of multi-generational planning. So there are constraints that the grandparents have of certain things. And sometimes the grandparents won't participate in the hiking and others will. And it depends. It really is talk. Learn as much as we can about who we're working with.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
And now back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Here's Nicole Steinthal.
Okay, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. We're here with our two virtuoso travel advisors, Carrie and Caroline. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are learning so much. This is really great. I really am motivated to start doing some great traveling. I wanted to ask you both a little bit. We touched base on different trips and travel insurance, the time of the year to travel. But I want to know, what do you think is an ideal family vacation? Carrie, why don't we start with you?
An ideal family vacation to me is really having something that is offered to everybody. Everybody on the trip gets a little bit of something. That, to me, is an ideal family vacation. But, again, you really need to know your clients. You need to know what works for them. The more information that clients can share with us about themselves and about their travel style, the better we can do our jobs.
Okay, Caroline, how about you?
I have to agree with Carrie. I mean, I think all of those things, family vacations are what are personal. Again, sun and sand, you have great, I mean, sometimes those all-inclusive places are great for people, and there are, you know, there are all kinds of price points for those types of trips. And it really it goes to all kinds of tastes, and people love that the kids can have a great time on the during the day, and they get together at night, and they have different restaurant choices, and That's a big family draw for a lot of my clients.
Right, the all inclusive, the beaches and those kind of places.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, Grand Villas is another one that's a big one for families that love that the higher end type of things too.
I'm sorry, what was that one?
Grand Villas. It's a great product.
Oh, okay,
those are in Mexico.
It's in Mexico. Two of
okay.
them in Mexico.
About Caroline, will you tell us what your most requested destination is?
I think because I live on the western side and near in the mountains, people are always asking about Hawaii and Mexico. And Europe is always in the summer.
Right.
So,
Caroline, Carrie, how about you?
You know what? I have to agree with Caroline. I definitely get a lot of Italy, and I'm getting more and more of Asia.
Wow, that's interesting. How about, are you readily available to the travelers while they're on their trip?
Caroline, you want to take that?
Yes, I will. Yeah, you know, we are. However, again, one of the benefits of working with our suppliers is that we have a team that's on the ground in the destination time zone. And oftentimes, we, of course, will get emails and at different times, and you know, I can't answer necessarily an email at 2 a.m, but I can be very hopeful that the people that I have organized the trip with can be there for them for different things. So, you know, but we, you know, nowadays we're very available during different times, and I work with a company that I can get coverage if things are not able to be managed by me if I'm out of the country, and that, you know, but we pride ourselves as being as available as we can. That's as realistic being in time zone situation.
Right. But if there was a mishap, you could help out.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
Okay. Absolutely. Yes. No, we are readily available. And what Caroline was saying is because we have these certain companies and certain destinations that we work with, when I give you your final itinerary, you're going to have a telephone number of a person in Rome, who's going to help you should something happen at 1 a.m. and you can't get in touch with me.
Right. And then let's say for Rome, for example, are you able to give people private tours? Or is that, can that be part of the itinerary at any location?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole specialty of Virtuoso is giving you customized experiences. And that's basically what Caroline and I put together.
So you can have a private tour guide one-on-one with your family the whole time, wherever you are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. What would you guys say, Carrie, why don't you take this one first? What's the best part of being a travel advisor?
You know, for me, the best part is personally listening to people's dreams and what their goals are for their trip and actually being able to help them and make them come true. I know that kind of sounds cheesy, but I mean, it really is. I mean, when somebody takes a great trip and they come back and they're raving about the guide and the restaurants and the driver and we went here and they took us here and their expectations are at one point and it exceeds it and they are just gushing, it makes you feel good.
Right. How about you, Caroline?
It's the creating the memories. The memories are what we thrive for. I mean, that's what you're trying to get out of any great trip. I mean, that could even be just a weekend in Napa or a weekend in Chicago or with your husband that you haven't gotten away, and just making sure that we've taken the time to have people really happy when they're finished with their trip. That's the best part.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I had a family who went to Italy, and the wife came home, and she said, oh, my God, it was the best trip ever. She goes, my husband and I did not fight once. Everything was laid out for us. We knew what we were doing every day, and we didn't have to discuss it. She goes, it was fabulous.
Right. That's great. Do you guys have a dream destination?
Oh, I want to go to the Maldives.
Okay.
And
what about you, Carrie?
I definitely would say Australia is up on my list.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you, what is your next trip?
My next trip, I'm actually, my family, we are going to the Big Island of Hawaii for Christmas. And then I just finished planning spring break, and we're going to go to Nicaragua.
And what about you, Caroline?
I'm in the process of planning my dad's 80th birthday, the both of us going to Botswana in Africa for a safari.
Wow, that's incredible. You have some great things on the horizon. So, ladies, how do our readers...
That's really part of our job. That's part
yes.
of the fun, too.
We are going to put your contact information and website information on our page, our Talk Zone page, so people can get in touch with you. But also, just tell us, what is the best way to contact you for the readers and listeners?
Email.
Yes, email, definitely.
Okay, so we'll put your emails up on the page, and everyone can get in touch with you. Last question. Ladies, what if somebody's listening to this, and they're saying, wow, all these places sound great. I want to plan a trip, but I have no idea where to go. Can you guys help with that?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. For sure.
Absolutely. That's a conversation, and that's us asking, you know, lots of questions and trying to figure out what somebody has done, what they want to do, what they like, what they don't like, and then that's us using our knowledge and coming up with a couple of ideas.
Okay, thank you so much, ladies. We will be in touch to talk about more great vacations and destinations. Tune in next week at 11 o'clock at TalkZone.com for Up to the Minute with Nicole.